Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambre, and still on the west side of Los Angeles, my man, Nando Vila. What's going on, brother?
Doing all right, man. Just moved today. This is nice. My moving day.
Yeah. Nice, nice. Very happy to be with you. On today's show, we're not going to do too much hardcore politics, because let's be honest, ain't shit really going on. After that godforsaken, I talked about it last week, Nando, but like the fact that this debt ceiling fight hinged on kicking people off a SNAP, $286 a month for
food, America, baby.
Unbelievable. Just like beyond depravity. It's whatever. I did enough talking about that last week, but you know, you and I both follow, obviously for work and other reasons, we follow the sports world very closely. The PGA Tour just struck a deal with LIV Golf and the Saudi, you know, basically sports washing investment fund that's like $1 trillion. They've purchased the PGA. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean, because I'm not going to lie, I've never really paid attention to the intricacies of the PGA Tour. But it feels like it's a huge deal, and it's on the heels of Messi sort of spurning Saudi. And what you said in our pre-production, billions of dollars they offered this guy to play fake soccer in Saudi Arabia that he turned away to come to America and sort of retire, live in Miami and just be an American celebrity and icon. Man, I think the thing about the LIV Golf thing that everybody's talking about, and with the Saudis and the PGA capitulating to them, the whole Tiger and Rory and the PGA sort of branding their opposition to LIV, not as a competitor in the marketplace, but as some moral failing by Phil Mickelson and, you know, all these other guys who took the dirty, icky, nasty, unpatriotic Saudi money, Nando, and ruined the tour, tried to ruin the tour and one of America's great sports and pastimes. That was just wrong that they took money from these guys, murdered journalists out there, you know, as if America's never murdered any dissidents in our country, American dissidents, but we won't go there. These guys, you know, the women have no rights out there. You can't take Saudi money, you know? Nando, and then, you know, it's announced the PGA Tour is like, yeah, we just sold them the whole kit and caboodle. They made us an offer we can't refuse, and now life goes on. And I think this is when you get into the fake morality of all of that, but the Saudis have decided that sports are a thing they want to invest in. Newcastle, they've already started with that. And, you know, they have a bunch of other interests in sports. It just feels like they're coming, you know, for everything.
Yeah.
The NBA already changed its rules where now a sovereign fund can buy an NBA team. That wasn't already always the case. The NBA is already like, bring it, bring that money, bring that sweet, sweet Saudi oil blood money. It just feels like they're coming for everything.
I mean, I was thinking about this a lot the last few days, obviously because I'm a fan of Real Madrid, and Karim Benzema just left abruptly to go to Saudi Arabia.
We talked about that.
Reportedly offered $400 million over 2 years.
Jesus.
You know, like,
he hasn't made $400 million in his career in
I doubt it.
La Liga. He probably hasn't earned $400
million. I mean, I was thinking he's on Madrid for 14 seasons. He was probably on like, No, he probably hasn't made that much money. I mean, if you're counting net, no, he probably hasn't. You know, generational wealth that, you know,
what are you supposed to
play
to
soccer
do
for
that?
2 years when he's already kind of toward the end. I mean, he's still good enough to play at the highest level.
Highest level.
I mean, but it's not going to last that much longer, and he's not going to get another big contract. So, So, that was really sad. But I've been thinking about it the last few days because, I mean, the LIV Golf thing just kind of came out of nowhere, right? I mean, I was like, it wasn't even like, it's just like one day, whoop, gone, whoop, but, you know, and I was thinking like the Saudis have chosen sport as a way to project what I would call soft power, right? Mm-hmm. But my thinking is like, this seems kind of dumb and
it is,
and it's going to backfire. Like the Saudis should just be quiet and like, you know what I mean? Like just do their thing. Like,
no, they're, going to piss people off.
Exactly. Like, if you want to make your image better around the world, don't like infringe upon the fun shit that we're doing and make us feel icky about it. You know what I mean? Like, just shut the fuck up and just don't do anything that bad. Like, just like, as long as the crimes are kind of in your own country, the West isn't going to care. You know, the West cared when they murdered Khashoggi, who was an employee of the Washington Post. But like when the other stuff is going on, like you do whatever, like more or less whatever you want.
The war
like,
in Yemen, which by the way,
we
never
supported
comes
it.
Up.
Yeah.
Like, which never comes up. Like I get it. They did 9/11. That's fucked up, and we get it. 9/11 was a big deal.
Yeah, just a small little detail.
We get
yeah.
it. They did 9/11.
But even then, like, you know, like, it just goes, like, the best thing they could do is just, like, you know, they can do almost whatever they want. Like, what do they need to do this for? They could just shut the fuck up and just, you know, count their money and you know, buy houses in Marbella and do, you know, whatever. Like, this is, like, actually might create a political coalition in the United States to, like, confront mm-hmm. Saudi power. You yeah. know, like, once, like, an NBA team gets bought and, like, say, like, the Knicks get, like, John Dolan sells the Knicks to the fucking Saudis, oh, you know? And there's a bunch of New Yorkers who are like, $20 billion
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Something ridiculous. $100 billion. Oh, who cares? God. You know what I mean? It's going to become a thing. It's going to become a flashpoint. It's going to become, you know, and it's going to piss people off and it's going to annoy people. And like, why don't you just shut the fuck up and just not piss anyone off? I mean, I get the sense that maybe it's not so much that they want to project soft power, but they want to project hard power. Like, it's a flex. It's be like, listen, I can own you if I want to. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, I mean, I put no limit to their ambition. Like, do they want to buy the Premier League? Like,
oh, God.
Like, do they want to buy?
Just when I got interested.
You know? I don't know. Like,
I guess theoretically they could, though.
Of course they could.
But to what end?
I mean, unless the English government sort of blocked it, which they might, honestly, if it was like that, like it became like a matter of like queen and country type of thing, or king and country now, sorry. Shout outs to King Charles.
Shout outs to King Charles.
Yeah.
Fresh off the coronation.
Yeah. Good for him. His fat fingers. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like they theoretically could. I mean, if money is no object to them, which it's not, I mean, it just shows like how warped and insane this world is. You know what I mean? That like, they have like money that's not even.
It's just not.
You can wrap like your mind around
real.
It.
Real, like they can just pay. Essentially, they can pay Karim Benzema $400 million to do what Russell Westbrook's going to do, in the NBA for the next 2 years. You know what I mean? Be yeah. like, but not in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, be a faded star. Still good enough, yeah. but Russell Westbrook in the NBA is going to be on like middling deals, right? Like the highest paid player is going to make 60 next year. Westbrook's probably
going to make like it's more like LeBron. 15. It's more like the Benzema situation was like, it's like as if LeBron was bought by the Saudis right now. Like LeBron, is he at his best? No. Is he still an ultra elite player?
Right. Yes. You're right.
Like he's at the end, but he's today an elite player. You know, Russell Westbrook is no longer elite.
No longer elite. No.
You know, like this is Benzema. Like this year could be really good still. Like really, really, really elite. You know, he scored 30 goals this season on an off year because he had injuries. You know what I mean? Like he's still, you know, like it's as if LeBron was bought by the Saudis or someone like that. That's still elite, but is old.
To go play in a glorified YMCA league. Like this isn't a real league. This isn't like this. It's worse than going to China. They've actually like made that into some like kind of league where you like overpaid former stars, vets. They'll get overpaid to be in China in a league that's obviously.
But people show up to the games, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. People show up. There's like
not only the Saudi league has got like packed stadiums.
I don't think so. No, 100%. And it's just one of those things. And like, I remember hearing somewhere that, you know, the Emiratis are just more westernized than the other Gulf states. Like, they just are more
acculturated
to Western culture. And they just know how to do this. They're smoother. They know how to do this better. Whereas the Saudis are just like, with everything they do, it feels like some blunt instrument. That is going to, they're just banging stuff and breaking stuff. And there's just nothing, like people are, like nobody feels good about this. And, you know, I think about the PGA fans, like people who actually care about this shit. I do wonder if like, you know, aristocratic, elite American people are going to go for this. You know what I'm saying? Like when Jamal Khashoggi and his crew shows up to Augusta, are they going to like that?
Yeah,
like I mean, not a
bunch of guys in ropes.
Excuse me, MBS.
MBS, yeah.
Rest in peace, Jamal Khashoggi. MBS, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, when he pulls up to Augustus with his entourage, like, are people going to dig that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. And like,
it's just weird. It's so a very weird thing. I mean, like you said, like, you know, the moral aspects about it, you know, like, listen, it feels icky because it's just like, just the naked kind of, you know, just the naked transactional nature of it. But yes. Like, it's also, you're right. Like, you know, are we comparing war crimes? You want to pile up bodies? I don't know. Like, the United States, you know what I mean? It's a ridiculous thing to do, but that's
the thing, right?
It's more weird than anything else.
I'm not sure why, but like Henry Kissinger is like all over the news this past week
because he's 100. Because he just turned 100.
Oh, he turned 100. It's his 100th birthday.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, now I understand why people are upset by that. Okay.
Yeah. Like, Kissinger was like my age in 1960. You know what I mean? Like.
That's insane. That's insane to consider. But, you know, people are talking about what happened in Cambodia and Laos, like legitimate atrocities, like war crimes, as bad as anybody, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not as extreme in its practice as like the Nazis rounding people up and sending him into gas chambers. Sure, it's not that like extreme in how ghastly it is, but like, bruh, they carpet bombed villages where normal people were living, dude. People who don't even live in Vietnam. Like, they're not even part of the damn war.
Between Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, the United States killed about 3 million people.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
More or less. It's impossible to know, but like it's like around that figure, you know?
So, you know, when we do this, like, you know, Saudi and this and that, it's just, it's not like, I don't want to do whataboutism, man, but like, if we really going to care about this shit, can we just care about it for real? You know, and again, like when they bring it up, when they talking about it in the sports realm, which is what, because to be honest, I haven't read like a sort of newsy journalistic breakdown of this. It's all sports stuff. And it's like, oh, they killed a journalist. Of course, the dorky sports journalists care about that, right? It's like, they killed one of us.
One of us, yeah.
You know, these guys don't let women drive and blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, all of that shit is horrible. But I mean, bruh. Yeah, just, I say all of that to say it's like, just sucks. I wish I had more deeper analysis than this. It's just, it's
but again, it is weird. It is weird. I mean, okay, would it, like, if we wanted to do some sort of deeper analysis, it is a reflection of just how much global capital, like, meaning just the power of money, has completely won. You know what I mean? Like, this was even, like, imagine the same situation in the 1960s or whatever, when America was feeling kind of feeling vibrant and strong and like it had a, like, they would be like, no fucking way, get the fuck out of here. I don't care what the price is. Like, you can't buy one of our leagues.
No.
You know, like our hallowed fucking shit.
You're just not allowed to do that. You don't fucking matter in that way.
Like, it's just the latest small kind of semi irrelevant thing, but just an example of a kind of weakening of the idea of America that no one even gives a shit, really. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that there's just like that, like the American project, no one can defend, even like right wingers can't really defend it. You know what I mean? Right. They don't really, their heart's not in it anymore. Right. You know what I mean? They talk a lot about this toward the end of the Soviet Union. You know, obviously the Soviet Union had a very clear ideological project behind it, which was a kind of global communism, a kind of revolt of the working class over the bourgeoisie. And by the end of the Soviet Union, like kind of in the 80s, you know, they would kind of go through the motions and they would say that, but you could tell that no one's heart was really in it anymore and no one really believed that
anymore.
But I
want to ask you though.
And the same thing's happening in America now.
Do you
like no one buys all this shit?
Do you think that it's tied to this lack of a foe? Like that we
That
we don't have anybody to hate
100%
in the mirror, right? Like it's the Soviets, and then after the Soviets,
especially an ideological foe and a worthy enemy is a thing that gets you like gets you fucking dick hard. You know what I mean? Like the global war on terror, like no one really gave a shit. I'm sorry. And also
for like 5 years we did.
Yeah. It was like 3 years. It was like 3 years.
5 years we did. Because especially in
five years, 2001 to six is when they cared about.
Bro, we slapped an American flag on everything after 9/11.
Yeah, but it always felt like. Do you remember when Osama bin Laden was killed and how weird that like the whole thing was about?
Nobody
like,
was
like,
really celebrating. It was too late. It was like
there was like people fucking, but they were just like going through the motions. It wasn't real.
I remember looking at the people that were actually celebrating. Like that's gross.
It's like
if that shit would have happened in 2002, bro. I would.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, yeah. There would have been. Yeah, it would have been 100%. But that's what I mean is that like no one really believes in the project anymore. Like the shit that we grew up as kids, like you look at it now and you think of like how indoctrinated we were. I mean, at least I was. Like when I was in elementary school, it was like, oh my god, America's just the best country.
Yeah,
like
it's not even close,
fucking Joker countries. Like, I mean, you know?
Nando, our parents are immigrants, right? Like, so part of it is like, yeah,
they
like,
loved it.
My mom, my dad, they fucking love America. My dad is a little bit like he has a healthy skepticism of
state
apparatus, but like the country itself being in America, like all this shit they be talking about retiring and I built my crib on the beach in Haiti and blah blah blah. He got that crib. He ain't never there.
Yeah.
He loves it in America.
He loves it here.
He loves it here. My mom loved it here. My aunts, they all absolutely love it here, right?
Yeah.
But you know, they're immigrants. It's different when you know what it's like to live somewhere different and you come here, you sort of take the stuff that this place has to offer in just a different lens. It's like all of the raping and pillaging and colonialism, who gives a fuck, bro? Like, I got indoor plumbing. Fuck all that.
No, yeah, I mean, it's true, but America did offer, you know, with all its problems, all its violence and all its like race, you know, like all that shit. It's true. But like America between basically World War II and the 90s was like growth like fucking crazy. It offered like a middle class lifestyle that was stable and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like that's gone. So that like no one really buys it anymore. You know what I mean? Like that discourse can seep into people's brains and people actually believe it and defend it when, you know, when the gravy train is
going.
Is gone.
Yeah.
This was just like the live golf thing is just like the latest example, like that no one gives a shit about.
Nobody
like
cares. It's just over. You can just take Arnold Palmer's PGA tour and wipe your ass with it in Saudi Arabia. That's just crazy. I want to get you out of here. Just the Messi thing, of course. Everybody thought the Saudi thing was a done deal. The idea that he was offered $1.5 billion. I just can't even understand that. To play in a league that doesn't exist for real. Are you going to watch these? But it's a Miami thing. How do you feel as a Miami
fan? I'm an LAFC fan. You've been to an LAFC game with me. I'm an LA. I have not supported to Miami.
I have never really watched much. I may have watched a game.
Dude, we had a great time at the Western Conference.
Bro.
The Western Conference final.
I was going to say, I may have watched a game and a half of – MLS at home ever in my life. As far as live sporting events goes, that conference finals LAFC game, I put that up there with Penn State versus Ohio State, which I was at in person back in 2005. I put that up there with the finals last year in Golden State. I'll put that up there with literally any sporting event that I've ever attended. I would put that LAFC experience with anybody. I think MLS has kind of decided that they're like, we're like just a live local thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to do insane ratings like some of our other sports, but like the people who are into our shit are going to have the time of their fucking lives investing in our product.
It's super smart to focus on the in-game experience. Because the NFL is terrible, like in a stadium. I fucking hate it. I don't know. I don't like NFL in a stadium.
It's terrible.
And basketball is quite good, but the atmosphere isn't as good.
Football is different because the atmosphere is on 1,000 at a place like Penn State, where like if a game starts at 8, the student section started drinking at 10 a.m. And so tens of thousands of drunk people losing their minds over a football game, that's different than sitting in fucking MetLife Stadium. And, you know, golf clapping the entire time. Yeah, it's different.
So, I mean, the Messi first of all, you want to hear something funny? Do you know how Inter Miami is doing this year?
How are they doing?
They're in last place. Literally in last place, the worst team in the league. Literally. That's what Messi's walking into. I mean, there's obviously like the whole saga has been kind of sad, and I'm not a Messi fan or a Barca fan. I despise Barca. I'm a Madrid fan, but you can recognize that Messi is the greatest of all time and still an unbelievably great player. I mean, he just showed it in the World Cup six months ago. Fucking won that shit. He won that shit. But the fact that he went to when he left Barcelona, the fact that he went to PSG, I was like, man, go play somewhere else. Go play like in a real fucking like show. How fun? How awesome would it have been if he was at Man City? Even they could have paid him, you know, Liverpool, whomever.
Yeah. Liverpool, like, whatever. Go play for a real team. Yeah. In a real league, have stakes at all of your games. The French league is oof.
Yeah, and so like, you know, Messi has been there for two seasons, and now he's going to MLS, and I get the sense that like we could have, I don't know, we were robbed of something, you know, that like we could have been
with the Paris Saint Germain years.
Yeah, that you know he just kind of was there. No one gave a shit. They fucking sucked in the Champions League, and you know, like, and then they were out, and then no one gave a shit. And, like it's just like this. He was too great to not test it in a different environment for real. Like that would have been awesome to see him. Like, you know, Ronaldo went to Juve and like Juve is another big team. Yeah, you know, and Ronaldo's been around. Like he played Man U.
Like insane. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
and so
like that shit matters in a way that the French league, it just doesn't, bro.
No, it doesn't. So that was what made me sad. But like, it was interesting that the Saudis were making a huge run. I mean, they got Ronaldo, they got Benzema. They're paying like $40 million a year to N'Golo Kante. Do you remember him from Chelsea? He's a really good player, but he's not like, I think nobody's watching a fucking game because N'Golo Kante's in the fucking game. He's just like a defensive midfielder. You know what I mean? What the fuck? They offer Messi $1.5 billion, and you know the story is that his wife was like, no fucking way. You know?
Because
Messi... Yeah.
Respect.
Because Messi's family, like Messi's like immediate family, they love Miami. Like they rented a house, near where I grew up, kind of for a while. And they bought a bunch of property in Miami. Like they clearly, like every cheesy Argentine loves Miami. You know what I mean? Like they fucking love Miami. Love
though, honestly. Honestly, especially as a guy who's got shitty English, like he's not gonna need it in Miami. No. He's not gonna need it anywhere. He's just going to speak Spanish every single day. It's going to be great. And I think the difference between, obviously, MLS is a vastly inferior league to the French league. We know that.
Yeah.
However, one, it's America. Yeah. Okay. As diminished as the brand is, it's still fucking America. That's a one that I think Messi is like buying into, right?
And, well, two, and it feels like he's part of a project.
Exactly.
You know?
It's going to be a legitimate phenomenon. Like, I know I'm going to make you take me to that LAFC Inter game. Like, that's that's just going to fucking happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think it's going to be a legitimate phenomenon when he goes to fucking places like Portland and Austin and Atlanta and all of these other MLS situations. Like, it's going to be a big-ass deal. You know, and I think that part of it matters. Like, as much as MLS is sort of, you know, the fifth of the sports league, and even if it's the fifth, it's like a step kid or an adopted kid. Like, it's not really one of the big dogs for real. I do think legitimately this thing is going to have juice when it gets rolling, and people are going to be excited about what's happening around him and the team and all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he can turn their season around. You know? Listen, I'm impressed with MLS. Like, I was an MLS skeptic when it kind of...
Of course. How could you not be?
And I think they their first round, you know, their first attempt, like, it was in their second wave of teams where they really started getting it right. And, man, those stadiums are packed. They're packed, and they're fun, you know? The product is good. Yeah. You know, and it's still, the level is still just not quite where it needs to be. And I don't know, like, what they could do to make it better. I mean, your league is fundamentally as good as your native players. You know what I mean? As many imports as you bring to the English league or the Spanish league or whatever, like, fundamentally, those leagues are great because English players are great and Spanish players are great. Like, the base is what's needed. You know what I mean? I'm curious to see how it goes, you know, but I'll be rooting for LAFC.
All right, man. That's our show for today. We will see you guys next week. Make sure you become a Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. Support the great content. We make it for you guys. We'll see you guys later. Peace.